Excited?
Yes.
I'm excited. Good. Do I have? Oh yeah, I forgot. There's a handle on this. Where is it? Oh, it's so good to be here. I love seeing you guys like greet each other. It's so cool that everyone's so loving, and it takes us 3 minutes to like get back to our seats and everything. It's awesome to see and be part of a church that's just really friendly and loving. It's great. But this morning we start a new series. A series on worship. We're doing our, I'm sure Pastor Brian told you, doing our service a little differently this morning and for this month. And I really, I believe God is doing something and is going to do something here at New Heart in a powerful way. I can feel it in the spirit. I know other leaders here at church, I know Pastor Brian, there's something that God is wanting to do. And we're excited about it. And we want you guys to be excited about it, but we need to press in. I got this kind of picture as I was working this last week, that there's like this geyser like at Yellowstone Park. There's all this pressure built up. And there's water that wants to come out and rain good, warm, hot, cold water that will go out and give life to the land. But there's like this crust that's kind of over it. And we have to dig away that crust. We have to get our hands dirty, get a little uncomfortable, do something that we're not necessarily used to, a little out of our comfort zone, out of the norm, and really scrape away and dig deeper and press in, because God wants to just unleash a deluge of blessing, of love, of release, of freedom, of redemption through us, for us, to us, and for others. And it's going to be great, but we have to really press in. And I think God's putting on our hearts and that we need to press in worship, and not just worship on Sunday mornings once a week for 20, 30 minutes. Worship in our lives, becoming people that are worshipers. I think the first step is understanding really and knowing and being reminded what worship really is. So now is that time, I believe, and this morning I'm excited to be able to speak, start this series, and get into what worship is. What God really intends for worship to be for us. So our key scripture for this series is found in John chapter 4. And John chapter 4, verse 24, says this. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is, and catch this, seeking such people who worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So as we get into this, press in. I think God has something specific for each of your hearts this morning to take you to that next step to go deeper with him as our lives change and focus more on worshiping him every second of the day. And we're going to get into that. All right. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let's welcome the Lord in this morning. God, thank you so much that you are God, that you are here, that you have saved us, that your presence is here, God. Thank you so much. I pray that we have an experience with you this morning. I pray, Lord, that that as we read the scripture, it won't be my words, that your words will go out, that your Holy Spirit will speak to the hearts that are here, that we will each get a new individual special revelation about your truth, about everything that you have for us, Lord. We thank you. We give you this time. We focus on you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen?
Yes.
Amen. All right, you guys all there?
Yes.
Good. Can you say worship?
Worship.
All right, worship. So I want to talk about what worship is, what it truly is, not what we've made it to be, not that we've messed up, but what God really intends it to be for us. And I think there is a purpose for worship that many of us forget about or don't live in at all times. And I'm still learning a lot about worship. I've been leading worship for many years, and there's still so much more that God reveals every single day, every single hour. Even this morning, there's new things. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, oh, thank you, Lord. And I think he wants to give us those new revelations all the time. But there's this one thing that's tracked through all of my years and that's been in my mind that I try to remember as much as I can and pass on. And it was told to me by a great man of the faith, a wonderful, powerful worship leader who I was lucky to for a few years worship with and under, and he kind of talked with me. I was able to talk with him sometimes. And he would say this. He'd say, worship, as we're focusing on worship as a worship leader, we need to know this. Worship is to God, but it is for us. So what does that mean? Worship is to God, but it's for us. When we're up here as a worship team, we're not worshiping to you guys. You're not worshiping to us. We're not performing for you. And you're not singing for us. It's not this thing. Although when we do worship and sing songs, it says in the Psalms, we can encourage and elevate each other with singing songs together and encouraging words like that. And that's great. And that happens. It's a byproduct. But it's not the main point. When we worship as a team, as a body of Christ, we're worshiping to God. But God made worship for us. And here's what that means. God doesn't need our praises. He's not sitting up in his throne waiting for us to praise him and then he's full of energy and he feels good about himself. That's not what's happening. God doesn't need to be reminded by the words we sing how great he is. He doesn't need to be reminded that he's created the world, that he's saved us, that he's here, that he pours out love and that he's great. He knows. We serve and worship and love a powerful, amazing, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-everywhere, all-powerful, all-loving, good God. That's who we worship, and that's who we come to worship every morning. He doesn't need to be reminded of that. So he's created this way for us if we truly enter into how he wants us to do with the right mindset, the right actions, the right choices. And I'm not talking about standing in the perfect way and raising your hands during the choruses and clapping during the verses. I'm not talking about something like that. I'm talking about a heart, a mindset, a focus. That he's created this so that in worship, as we worship to our God and make ourselves available and take the posture of true worship, he then is allowed and we give him permission to pour out love, to pour out blessing, to transform us in those moments, whether they're on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Saturday morning, on your drive home from work, on your drive to work, whenever it is. We create and become in that posture of worship. When we do worship, it allows God, he's like taking a bucket of his love and blessing and power and poured it out, but we have like an umbrella up all the time. And we don't realize it, but it's our natural kind of nature. And we need to physically open ourselves, get rid of the stuff that's in the way so that that can pour out on us because he wants to bless. He's waiting for us to be there. Amen? So I want us to be excited. Because God is seeking those who worship. God is seeking those who worship. We read back in John 4:24, the Father is seeking such people who worship him, and he wants to pour out. And I want us to have a renewing of our heart as we come into worship every single week. Not just this morning or next or this month as we're doing this 21 days of worship, or maybe this year and then it just kind of fades. I hope and my prayer this morning is that everyone who is here, everyone that you talk to, everyone that's part of New Heart Church, spiritually, whether they're here or not, will have this renewing of their heart where they're excited to go to worship. Like, I got this picture, like a kid excited on Christmas morning. Who's been excited on Christmas morning? I have been. I know a lot of you have been. It's like, yes, I've seen my kids now be like so excited. As an adult, I'm like, I want to sleep. It's a vacation. It's a day off. It's the middle of the week. Thank you, Lord. It's cold. I love being warm in my bed. But that doesn't happen because our kids get up. We have stuff. It's exciting whether we're at our grandparents' house or aunt and uncle's house or wherever we're at. They're excited. I want us to be excited on Sunday mornings, on Saturday mornings, when we're driving home, whenever it is, to go and worship because we are going to the Christmas tree, the tree of life that represents the cross, where his presence is, and it's free, and it's wonderful, and it's a blessing. Not just once a year. Every single week we get to do this. That's exciting. Yay. And I don't feel that way every week. I don't feel that way every morning. I'm sure most of you don't every single morning. But God wants that for us. That's so cool. This God who's above everything else is relationally there for us and loves us so much that he's waiting it forever for every single person individually, waiting to meet and bless and love and pour out. And I want us to be excited about that. So I've broken it down humbly into these 3 points that I think kind of encapsulate what God has for us in worship. There's so much more, and it's a Not only a subject that lasts a single series, it could be a subject that lasts a year and a lifetime. But we're gonna kind of distill it so that hopefully this morning we can be more excited and kind of understand what the posture is for worship so that we can take that correct posture wherever we are in any situation and God can pour out his blessing. Amen? So the first point is this. Worship is humility. Worship is humility. It is the key ingredient for true worship. Humility, putting God first. And someone quoted this, and I don't remember who it was, so I didn't quote it, but this is not me. This is somebody else. I just didn't remember where it was. But humility is simply recognizing that you are not God. That's not Webster. It might have been C.S. Lewis, but I can't say for sure. Humility is simply recognizing that you are not God. When I'm talking about humility, I'm talking about putting yourself in the correct alignment with the Lord, that he is first and priority. That in the cosmos, we as selfish, broken, egotistic, prideful humans don't put ourselves as the most important thing in our minds. I don't think anyone here would really choose that consciously. Like, yes, I'm more important than God. Like, I don't think anyone would really say that. But in our choices and in our actions, that can sometimes be a byproduct of where our mind is at and our focus is on. And we see from Jesus, and we see this, if Jesus, who was God, who is God, could humble himself, I think we can too. In Philippians 2, 5 and 8, it says this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus is God, was God, will be God, he is God. And it's saying here that he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He humbled himself. He emptied himself. That's pretty big, guys. By taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself. He put himself under the Father's will and under his authority and under the Father's direction. He went to the cross because of that. He did his amazing miracles because of that. It says this, Jesus says this in John 5:30. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Worship is humility, putting God first, seeking his will for your life rather than your own. In John 8:28, Jesus says this, I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. Jesus, God, is being taught by the Father and being shown. That's awesome. If Jesus can do that, we should do that, right? We're little Christs. That's what Christian means. Christian means little Christs. If Christ, Messiah, humbled himself, how much more should we humble ourselves before our God, before our Creator? Amen. Jesus was able to do all that because he aligned himself and made God, the will of the Father, his first priority. And I think that pride, as I mentioned before, is the greatest threat to worship. And it's the opposite to humility. Pride is when we rely more on ourselves than on God. And when we do that, we're lost. We struggle. We strive, we think, and we probably are doing things that are correct and right in the eyes of morality and the eyes of culture and the eyes of our parents and even maybe in the eyes of our pastor that's speaking to us and stuff. And we're trying to follow these rules and we're trying to live correctly. But we're trying to do it with our own power, relying on our own knowledge and our own energy and insight and wisdom, which a lot of us, and many in the world, can get pretty far as surviving and having a happy life. We see that all the time. And we usually don't go to God until it's really tough and we can't do it and the people we've asked for help can't really help us and then we're on our knees begging desperate. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. We should definitely beg it. But humbling yourselves and being a worshiper means that we put God first before we can handle it on our own. Before we rely on ourselves to handle that situation, that relationship, that tough conversation, that obedience opportunity with your kids, that hard fear that you have, the struggle of stress in work, before trying to handle it on your own, worship is humility. Worship is going to God first. Because then you're on the right path from the start. How much better is that? We try to do this, and maybe eventually we get to the place, but if we're with God, it's direct. It destroys, and worship destroys that pride by putting God first. It gets rid of it. It flips it on its head and totally erases all that stuff. When we humble ourselves, placing yourself less than God, not in your mind, but in your actions, like we talked about, that is true worship. Now, because we try so hard to kind of get the horizontal stuff working, right? We try to figure out our relationships, our family dynamic, whether we're a good person or not, our schedule, our work, our job, our paycheck, where food's going to come from, all these different things. And we try to handle this, all this horizontal stuff with others here so much, and we're struggling with that. But we do that before we get the vertical correct. And once you get that vertical relationship correct, the rest of these work out. What did it say in the Bible? Seek me first and all these things will be added unto you. So as a true worshiper, worship is humility. My second point is this. Worship is freedom. Worship is freedom. As we humble ourselves and put him first and put him above everything else, especially above ourselves, we have just an audience of one. We have a God that is listening, and all the other noise is toned down. Doesn't go away. There are obviously real things in the world that we have to handle and be part of God's plan in handling and taking care of and in investing love and in power, in God's power through us to it, because he wants to be in relationship with us. But as we focus on his face, it makes all fear, doubt, worry, insecurity, stress, physically and emotionally, just released. In worship, if we humble ourselves and take that posture of that and we focus on only God, not just putting him first, but now in finding freedom that he's the only one that really matters. It's just you and him, and there's a freedom in that when you're worshiping. And it's awesome. I've experienced it a few times. I want us to experience it every week. I want us to experience it all the time, every day. And this is a quick example. A few weeks ago, we were starting worship. The whole band was up here. The counter was clicking down, and it was like at 30 seconds. And we were all ready, and had practiced, and it was going to be great. And there was no one else in the room. Like 30 seconds, it's 10, 10:01. The countdown is coming, 30 seconds, 25. And I'm like, there's no one else. There was the sound guy, media, and Pastor Brian was here. And we were here, and it was like, all right. So I looked back, like 20 seconds. I looked back at the band, and I gave them a smile. I'm like, all right, guys, here we go. We're going to worship. Because we started on the right timer. And in my heart, I felt awkward. I felt weird. Like, oh, am I doing something wrong? Why is this? Where is everybody? Where is the audience? I thought that. That's not good, guys. especially as the worship leader. I should not have thought, where's the audience? Where's the people that I'm supposed to perform for? Not cool. And that was my thought. And I kind of checked myself, and I thought, like, no, but who, when will they be here? And I had that kind of, that emotion, it kind of crept up. And I would never say that. I would never think that I would believe that. But in that time of stress, we can forget those things, and there can be other things that are there. And a singer whispered in my ear, like as 5, 10, it's like 10 seconds is hitting, and there's like no one in here. There might have been maybe the Chandlers were here, maybe. Like, you know, but as it was clicking down, she whispered in my ear, God is listening. We are worshiping him. I was floored. I was so floored. I'm tearing up now. I was floored. In those like 3 or 4 seconds that were there, my entire world just changed. And there was such a freedom. Because no matter what we've done, we're worshiping to the audience of one. And God is here, and he's listening to just one of us. He cares that much. He doesn't need an audience. He doesn't need a crowd. He doesn't need multiple people. He just needs your one voice lifting him up, making yourself available, and finding freedom in his love and his presence that he's there. It's so good, guys. I mean, when I I saw that and I had to go home and I was looking up other stuff and David came to mind. And in one of the most like anti-political, crazy, silly scenes of the Old Testament, David is dancing. So I want to read just a quick excerpt. It's a long story, but I just want to read a quick thing out of 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting with the sound of the horn. Excuse me. Oh, gosh. Excuse me. Sorry. He did not care about anything. David didn't care about anything. Okay, so imagine. So we read that little scripture and we're like, oh, okay, David was dancing. And the ark is kind of there and stuff. And he's wearing a linen ephod. What is that? It's basically underwear. Okay, that's basically in this. There, ephods can be are mentioned multiple different times and for different things. But for this, for the linen ephod in that picture, it's his undergarments. Okay? And all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting with the sound of the horn. He is on a parade, worshiping. All of the people are there, and he's just dancing before his God. And later on in the story, his wife hates him for it, and you're embarrassing yourself. What are you doing? And David's like, I just love the Lord. And I think that's how God wants us to approach him in worship. As we humble and put him first and then focus only on him, we find that freedom to be just who we are, because he doesn't care. He knows that we're sinners. He knows what we've done that day, that morning, that week, that month, our lives, years ago. He knows all of that and forgives it all. He accepts you no matter what you've done or are doing or who you are. He wants to include you in that and everyone in that and find freedom. He wants to bring you that freedom that really can only happen when we do worship, when we take that posture of worship. I keep putting my hands out because it's a posture that's receiving but also open and vulnerable. Okay, open and vulnerable for whatever's happening, open and out of control, eyes closed, not knowing, innocent before him. Because God's created worship for it to be a place of intimate, powerful presence and relationship. We align ourselves in humility and focus only on him, we are set free. We're not ignoring, I said this before and I don't want this point to kind of just flitter away. We are not ignoring what is going on around us. That's not what worship is. We're not simply distracting ourselves for a while we sing his praises. That's not at all is. That happens sometimes when you're tired in your home and you just want to chill out and relax and you watch a TV show or a sports game or go on your phone and play a silly app. I've been playing Angry Birds lately. My daughter showed it to me a while ago and I've been kind of doing it. It's kind of fun. Those things are distractions and they're not bad. But after those distractions, nothing's really changed and you have to kind of face what was there before. But in worship, there is freedom. There is humility. And when we sacrifice, which is going to be my next point, getting ahead of myself a little bit. When we sacrifice, God moves in that moment of worship so that when you come out, you are decked out in heavy, powerful armor with a sword of God in your hand to handle that stuff that's there, that's in your way. God encourages, transforms, and equips you during worship in ways that we could not be equipped unless we entered into a place of complete surrender, humility, and freedom to receive from our God. Because we're reminded of the correct perspective of the universe, our God, that our life is with him, through him, on him, and because of him, and because of nothing else. And when we understand that truth and act and respond to that, he's able to pour out and equip us. Worship is freedom. My third point is this. Worship is sacrifice. I've been explaining and I hope and I pray that as we wake up next Sunday morning early or whatever and we're getting ready to go to church, that we're excited and ready to go get the presence under the tree. Get to the presence of God that's there. And are excited. Everyone comes and they're like, yeah, we're here early. We're coming at 9:30, 9:45 because we want to be here for God. That's what I pray for this church, that they're here, that people are excited, that guests can come early, drop off their kids, and fellowship with you guys before church even starts, that church happens because we are here, because God is here, and that's why we want to be here. Not because we're going to start at 10, not because we need to do it because it's the right thing to do and it's our tradition and everything else like that. I pray that we're excited. However, there are going to be mornings where you don't want to come. where you don't want to worship, where you're going to show up and you just got into a huge argument with your spouse, where you're scared and worried and you just got an email that you've been working on since Friday and it's twisting you up, where something happened and a sickness or a disease or an accident or something has hit. And you're just like, all right, I'm going to church because my kids need to come or I need to be here. There's nothing else to do. And you don't want to worship. Or you're going to be in your car stressed driving home from work. Like, no way, I don't want to worship the Lord. Right? Because I think I sometimes find myself doing this. I don't know if you guys are the same. I kind of find myself feeling, not really saying it out loud, but then once I say it out loud, I have to check myself. But kind of feeling like, God, why'd you let that happen? You're the creator of the universe, right? You're all loving and all powerful. Why didn't you stop that? You could have. And so ignorant, because he loves us so much, he's given us free will. Stuff happens, and he allows things sometimes to happen so that we can choose to worship him and find and be grown and transformed through those hard times. But you're going to find yourselves in places where you do not want to worship. But when we really need to worship, when we really, really need to press into worship, usually we won't want to. So when you find yourself challenged, you've got that kind of like little tug on your heart, like, I should worship, but I don't want to. I don't feel like it. It's uncomfortable. I don't like this song. I don't want to do this. I didn't like that worship leader. He's okay, but he's not really playing the right thing. Or I like piano being loud. It's too loud. It's too soft. You know, all that stuff, and even bigger things that are there. Worship is sacrifice. Romans 12, 1-2 says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual act of worship. I challenge you, the next time when you don't want to worship, where worship, prayer, thinking on God, blessing him, praising his name, thanking him for all the good that he's done for you, and for your family and for your life, when that's the last thing on your mind, that's usually when you need to press in and you need to worship. Because worship is sacrifice. He deserves it. No matter what we do or say, no matter how much we worship, he still will deserve and has already earned more. He has already earned and is owed more than anyone ever can give him. And if we know that, it doesn't matter what you feel like. Because when we know that truth and we choose to respond to that truth, to that knowledge, not just in our brains and in our belief, but take it into our body, God then gets to pull you out of the place that you're in where you don't want to worship. Worship is this amazing, beautiful tool created and given to us by God to save us, bring freedom, bring redemption, bring transformation. And we don't want to do it. Do it. When we worship, all those things happen because God is with us. In Psalms 22:3, it says, you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Psalm 22:3, you should look it up. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. That means when we praise, when we worship, whether it's by ourselves in the car, by ourselves in a stressful situation where we just don't have any more power, whether it's before we do something that we're not really sure how to handle, or we want God's anointing and covering on it, when it's here on Sunday morning, worshiping alone, when we worship, those praises create a throne that God sits in. It's such an awesome picture that when we lift up our voices and our praises to him, he comes and is there in a powerful, on a throne of authority. A king is sitting with us. A king who has authority and power over everything and can answer anything that we need. So as we end today, and as the worship team comes up, because we're going to worship a few more songs, I hope that you want to worship. I hope that next Sunday, tomorrow, no, I pray that tomorrow, you wake up and you're like, I want to spend a few minutes just praising God. And that you do it. And that next Sunday you come, and through this week, as you've been worshiping every day, opening yourselves up, humbling yourselves before God, putting Him first, opening yourself and being vulnerable and finding freedom in that, and doing it whether you want to or not, for however long, however short, that when you do that, God will transform you. I pray that you do that, that next Sunday, when you come to church, you'll be excited and expectant, not because of what we're doing up here, not because you're in a church building, but because God's presence is here and you want to be with Him and be with others and worship Him together. Because worship is not just an individual thing. I've been giving a lot of examples about individual stuff. And it can be. And there are times for intimate, powerful meetings with the Lord. But worship is also corporate. It's meant to be together so that we can minister to each other and be ministered by each other through the Holy Spirit, through us in song and in love, and experience ultimately what heaven is going to be like, where we're together in front of our God with everything else bare, with nothing there, with no sadness or shame, but in front of God. Who wants that? Who wants freedom? Amen? Amen. Have I lost you? Worship can be that. When we learn to really worship truly and to do it, God wants to pour out His blessings.